Morning, ladies. It is such an honor to be here, and I already feel the warmth and the specialness of this community just from the moment I walked in. Can you hear me clearly? Is it good? Okay. Our topic today is finding tranquility in a very anxiety-provoking world. You know, studies were done on different psychological phenomena in the Jewish world, and it happens to be we have a slightly lower level of depression than in the wider society, but our anxiety is pretty high. Now, it's kind of interesting that we have Shabbos once a week, which is supposed to be the Yom Menucha. So 1 in 7 days we're actually working on tranquility and quiet, and yet anxiety among us is very, very high. So I'd like to start with a suggestion of how we could use Shabbos to really access more tranquility. So I will give a little background. I've been doing Musar Vadim for around 15 years, and I love what I do. The only downside of what I do is that a teacher who teaches in high school or in seminary has a certain set curriculum, and because the student body is always changing every year, you could use the same curriculum year after year. Because I teach married women, I have the same students year after year. Baruch Hashem, it's a good problem to have, but it means that I always have to come up with new material. So my husband and I have this like back and forth where I say, that's it, I'm all out of midos, there's nothing left to teach. And he says to me, it's a very big Torah, you'll find something. And I say to him, thanks a lot. And he's usually right, maybe always right. So recently when we had this conversation about midos, he says to me, why don't you do Shabbos? So I said to him, Shabbos is a day, it's not a midah. And everybody knows everything about Shabbos already. So he gives me this little, you know, twinkle. He says, start researching, you'll see. And I realized two things. I realized that there's a tremendous amount that we could learn from Shabbos in terms of our personal development. And I also realized that I know nothing about Shabbos, even though I'm what they call a from birth. But I did not really know what Shabbos was all about. And that's why I would like to share with you that if we're trying to access tranquility in a very anxiety-provoking world, let's start with the gift that Hashem has given us. So every Friday night in Kiddush, we say the pasuk from Shmos, Sheshes Yamim Tavod V'Asisa Kol Melachtecha. And the question we have on that, Asisa Kol Melachtecha, you will do all of your work. Is that a promise that we'll finish all of our work? Is it a bracha that we should finish all of our work? What does that phrase mean? V'Asita Kol Melachtecha. You will do all of your work. So Chazal and the Mechilta say that it's actually a piece of advice. You should imagine as if all your work is done. So the piece of what we're saying in Friday Night Kiddush is, if you want to rest on Shabbos, imagine that all your work is done. And then Chazal say, you shouldn't, and I have a very insightful student who said to me, hear horror is like that repetitive, like bakbuk, tzilzul. Laharher means to ruminate, to process again and again. So let's figure out what we want to learn from this. First of all, what does it mean that it's an eitzah? And that eitzah, that piece of advice, seems a little bit like a game. Really, I didn't finish filling out that application. Really, I didn't take care of that problem. I didn't make that appointment, but I should imagine as if I did. Well, why is that going to help me? And the answer really is that this is not a game. It's the key to our tranquility in the world. For every endeavor that we are pursuing, and every job we have to get done, there are two partners. There's me, and there's the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's actually much better at this than me. And when I am taking a rest, I am trusting that he's taking care of the problem. I always give this example because I live in Yerushalayim. If I'm running a business and my partner is in New York and I've lit candles for an early Shabbos in the winter, well, it's Friday morning in New York. If I know that my partner has a deal that he's closing in the morning, and somebody later says, so, was the deal closed? The answer is yes, but I don't have access to that information. But I trust that he's very, very efficient, and he's taking care of it. That is the answer to our pursuit for tranquility. We feel that we have so much on our shoulders, but we forget that we have a very successful partner who's sharing the burden with us. And when we allow ourselves to relax, we are trusting the fact that we are not dropping the problem. In fact, this concept leads into a hashkafa of what is our job in this world? What are we doing? And the Mesillas Yesharim in Perek Chaf Aleph teaches us about hishtadlot. Hishtadlot is our efforts in this world. And he says something that's very hard for us to believe. Lo shehishtadlot mo'il, ela shehishtadlot muchrach. It's not that your efforts lead to a specific outcome, but rather it's what you have to do. It's the etiquette in the post-Adam HaRishon world. In Gan Eden, what were Adam and Chava doing? They were kivyachol being wined and dined. They didn't have to put in so much effort. And after the chait is when Hashem changed the way the world works. B'zeat apecha tocha lechem. Now we have to work hard for results in every area. So I always give my students a mashal. What was your hishtadlut like if you were in Gan Eden at the time of Adam and Chava? It's the kind of effort that you would have to put in if you're eating in a restaurant. In a restaurant, you come and you're being wined and dined. So it's not proper etiquette to go over to the waitress and say, hi, can I help you serve the salad? Can I go to the back and peel some potatoes? It's off. It would not be appropriate. What happens after Chet Adam HaRishon? Most of us think that the new mashal is now on the cook. I have to shop, I have to peel, I have to cut, I have to do all of it. And that's very anxiety provoking. The real mashal is that I am now a guest at somebody's Shabbos table. I'm still not the one making the menu. I'm still not the one deciding what's going to be served. Except one thing has changed. The etiquette is to offer help. And this is such a mashal that I give my seminary students because they're often either in a restaurant or at a Shabbos table. And it's proper etiquette to show appreciation for the Baal HaSabayit, it's by saying, what can I do? Can I serve the salad? But you're still not the one running the show. After Chet Adam HaRishon, Hashem is still running the show. But now, the proper etiquette is for me to contribute. So I have this little mantra that brings down my anxiety. I contribute, he controls. And therefore, whether you're making a doctor's appointment or researching a solution to a problem or writing out a resume, trying to get your kid into seminary, trying to find a shidduch for your child, whatever you're doing, you contribute, he controls. And I don't know about you, but when I go to Shabbos tables, it's very easy for me to just serve the salad, clear off the fish plates. It's not my house. And therefore, we're trying to get to an attitude where we go about what we have to do in this world, but we do it more calmly. When we find our anxiety rising, it's usually a sign that we're losing the focus on our job in the situation. What's my position here? In fact, one time years ago, I was trying to be mechanech one of my young children to be helpful on Shabbos. I had guests at the table, and I said to him, "You want to help mommy serve the challah?" He says, "Sure." I'm holding a big challah dish. His little pudgy hands he puts under the dish. I'm holding it from the top, of course. And he helps me so proudly. He's walking into the living room. And I said to him, "Oh, wow." I said, "You're fantastic. You're mommy's helper. What would I do without you?" We have school on Sunday morning in Israel. So I woke him up for kindergarten. And he says to me, "Oh, I don't think I should go to school today." I said, "Why not?" He said, "Because you said that you can't manage without me." And then I thought about it. That's us. We're holding our problem with our pudgy little hands from the bottom. Hashem is holding it from the top, and we're scared to let go because he can't manage without us. He's being machanechas to take responsibility for our lives. And that's proper etiquette for us to show appreciation that he handles everything and we contribute. And he's also teaching us to take responsibility. But we're not controlling outcome. And therefore, when the pasuk says "Vasisa kol melachtecha," and the mechilta says "Yeh beidecha ki ilu kol melachtecha suya," it means that in your world the problem isn't done, but your partner knows exactly what's happening. It's under control, and this is supposed to calm us down. It's supposed to keep us in a calmer place. So, how does this work practically, and how could we actually take something from Shabbos and use it for the whole week? Rav Tzvi Meir Zilberberg, who's a big tzaddik in Yerushalayim, he says, the relationship between Shabbos and the rest of the week is like swinging doors. Either you take all your anxiety from the week and you kind of swing it into Shabbos, and your Shabbos is not very calm, or you gain perspective and calmness on Shabbos, and then the doors fling out at the end and your week is calmer. So how do we use Shabbos in the right way? Because clearly, if we have so much anxiety in our society, and we have Shabbos every week, we're not using it properly. It's a gift that we're not utilizing. So I want to share with you that in my research about Shabbos, I came across something that I had never known before. This is coming from a sefer called Ben Melech by Rav Lev Mintzberg. He says, "What is Oneg Shabbos?" If you ask a Jewish lady what Oneg Shabbos is, they'll say, the cake, the dessert, the flowers, a nicely set table. Rav Lev Mintzberg quotes a Torah that says that Oneg Shabbos is more in your brain than it is in your tablescaping. In fact, a lot of us who fling our problems into Shabbos, our homes are like the old expression, all dressed up with nowhere to go. Everything looks beautiful. But in my mind, I'm worrying about all my weekday problems. So the Torah says something amazing. Three categories. Thinking, doing malacha on Shabbos, we know is asr. Thinking about malacha on Shabbos is mutter. You're allowed to think. But, and this was the big chiddush to me, distracting yourself from thinking about malacha is a kiyum of Oneg Shabbos. I never knew that. And Rav Lev Mintzberg widens this to say it's not just about the application you have to fill out or the doctor's appointment you have to make. It's any not Shabbostic problem that's creating a lot of chatter in your brain. And if you happen to be very anxiety prone, you'll get a lot of schar for every time an idea pops into your head and you distract yourself. Because I always tell my students, our primary responses are never in our control. Our bechira does not start with a thought comes in, a feeling comes in, anxiety, sadness, jealousy, anger. You didn't say, "Oh, I think I want to feel that right now. Let's feel it." It comes. There's no bechira in primary responses. Your secondary response is where your bechira starts. So now that I'm feeling a little anxious, what am I going to do about it? So shelo taharher achrei hamlacha means that you can avoid a ruminatory circle of what's going to be with that problem, what's going to be. So the first thing we have to understand is that when a worrisome thought pops into my head, on Shabbos and I distract myself, I get a mitzvah of Onig Shabbos. Onig's up here, not just on our tables. And I think for me that was a very big chiddush. And I think for many women it might be. So now we have what I call the pink elephant problem. Tell somebody not to think about something and they're going to think about it. Don't worry about that. Tell an anxious person not to worry. They wish they weren't worrying. So we know that distracting yourself from the problem is a kiyum of Onig Shabbos. But where are you going with this? So here Leib Mintzberg has another chiddush. He says what you're supposed to be doing on Shabbos is emulating Hashem. We know about Hashem vayanach bayom hashvi. He was resting on Shabbos. Did you ever think about what that was? I was joking with my kids, you know, Hashem wasn't sitting reading Mishpacha magazine on Shabbos afternoon on the couch. What was he doing? Vayanach bayom hashvi. So Rav Leib Mintzberg said something very interesting. He says that Hashem was reflecting on what he had created, and he was finding pleasure. That's the vayanach. And therefore, the positive thing that we'd like to fill our brain with, instead of all the chatter of what's going to be, is to be able to reflect on something that we accomplished and to find pleasure. For me, this was a big chiddush. Why? Because as Jewish women, we're very forward-oriented. We have our to-do list and lots of things to do. Very often when we reflect on something that was done, we have that self-beating critical voice that said, I didn't do a good job. Vayanach b'yom hashvi, Hashem was not criticizing the creation. He was not saying, I should have made those apples purple. Why did I make them red? He was enjoying Masa Yadav. And ladies, I think for us, that may be the key to having more tranquility in our lives. To be able to reflect on something that was accomplished, either in the past week, or a milestone. Something where I could say with a smile, ah, and find pleasure. So we have two sides to the concept of menucha. One is the ability to not ruminate, not ruminate about problems, even though the problems still exist. But to fill the space with positive reflection. And to emulate Hashem. So I want to share with you, as we're winding down, that I developed a certain skill that I want to tell you is very, very powerful in my life. I call this the menucha moment. What do I mean by this? You know, halavai, we could do this all day on Shabbos, but ironically, for many of us, Shabbos is a very busy time. So I try to catch a moment somewhere over Shabbos to be able to emulate Hashem in the Vayanach B'yom HaShvi. So I start with a certain statement. I started realizing that we as Jewish women, a lot of our mentality, we'll speak about this a little bit more tonight, is long way to go, lots to do. On Shabbos, long way to go turns into we've come a long way. And on Shabbos, I stop somewhere where I have a quiet moment. Sometimes it's very late at night, early morning, a minute on the couch. And I say to myself the statement, we've come a long way. And then I try to fill it with something. It could be anything. It could be a milestone with one of the children. It could be something technical that I finally took care of that I needed to. A problem that was solved. And just to get nachas, to be able to say, ah, we've come a long way. Ladies, I have to tell you that this changed my Shabbos. I had very busy Shabbos at home, and just 1 minute to say we've come a long way. It's so counterintuitive for Jewish women to give themselves credit and not criticize what you've done, but actually say, wow. And that is the menucha moment. So I want to end by sharing with you something very interesting that happened to me. At one point, one of my little younger children, who's now older, used to love to go to shul. And used to like kind of get up early and get dressed and get all excited. Everybody thought it was so cute. And one day, he comes home from shul on Shabbos and he says to me, "Mommy, I'm not going back to that shul anymore." And it took me a while to figure out what happened. I still don't know ad hasof. But I think that there was some kind of intimidating man who kicked him out of his chair seat and said that he took his seat. And, you know, for a sensitive child, that was enough. But then he says to me the next week, "I don't know if I want to go to another shul either." And then it turned into, "I don't know if I want to daven on Shabbos." And it was hard for me. Very sensitive child, clearly. And I felt bad that there was something that he got such simcha out of that he suddenly lost his simcha. He was very young, but still, it was a shame. So in my long way to go Jewish woman mode, I started, maybe we'll walk to shul just for the end. Maybe we'll go to the park and then we'll come for, you know, Anna's Miros. No, he didn't want. I would bake a nice cake and say, maybe we'll daven together. We'll have a little kiddush afterwards. I was trying all my sweet, nice, you know, intense, get it back to yourself type messages. As sweet and nice as it was still very forward oriented and it wasn't working. So he was sitting on the floor one time playing with his toys on a Shabbos morning. And I happened to sit down at that moment and it was a quiet moment for my menucha moment. So I said the statement, "We've come a long way." And then I said, "What am I thinking about this week?" And all of a sudden I looked at him. And I started thinking, you know, remember when he used to struggle with not wanting to go to the dentist? And he used to have a hard time with this and this? And we got past some of those things. He grew out of some of those things. And I found myself saying, "We've come a long way about this child." And I want you to know, ladies, that it's not a contradiction that some of the same people in your life, even yourself, who you could say about yourself, "I have a long way to go," you could also say about yourself, "We've come a long way." It's not a contradiction. So I'm thinking, we've come a long way, and I'm thinking about certain milestones. And then something very interesting happened that had not happened in a few months. He went to the shelf, he pulled down two sidurim, and he said to me, "Come, Mommy, let's daven." I had not shared with him what I was thinking, but I learned something very important. The energy of "we've come a long way" creates a certain positivity, a certain empowerment for ourselves and for our loved ones. And as much as we are so motivated towards problem solving, it sometimes communicates a message of "we're not good enough." And therefore the menucha moment is really about finding more nachas for yourself, appreciating, giving yourself a break from handling and managing those problems all the time. And reminding ourselves that we're like the little child who's holding the cholent dish from the bottom, but there's a parent holding it from the top. And therefore, we can trust that I'm going to contribute. I'm going to try to do whatever I can, but I keep in mind that he controls. And that's the ultimate tranquility that we can have in such a anxiety-provoking world. Thank you so much, ladies. Looking forward to learning with you over these days. Thank you.